This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to another episode of Echoes of Dissent, a weekly podcast that explores the events, the movements, the beliefs and the personalities. In short, the why a song of protest, a song of dissent was written and sung, and who created it. We look at its impact at the time and its relevance to today, if any. My name is Fred Carter, and today we are standing up and fighting back through the music, life and work of a New Zealand singer-songwriter, a troubadour, a wandering minstrel. Today we meet Adam McGrath, described as The Truth by his peers, New Zealand's toughest-minded songwriter by The Herald, and a national treasure by Radio New Zealand. His music is raw, sounds angry, does not pull punches. Last week, John Lennon and the Beatles urged us to think, to plan, to be non-violent. But Adam McGrath's life and music is closer to the ground, in the middle of the protest, in the middle of community, holding it together with his music. Today we feature Stand Up, Fight Back, from his album Wrecker Songs, released just 6 weeks ago. And who is Adam McGrath? The punk rock folky? or who are his targets, and what is he saying through this track, his music, and his lifestyle? Adam McGrath is a Christchurch-based folk singer and principal songwriter for The Eastern. His work sits in the tradition of socially engaged folk music, songs about workers, community, inequality, solidarity, disasters, hope, and political life. He is walking alongside those he is singing to and for. He is recognised for his community involvement after the Christchurch earthquakes and for writing songs rooted in the tough times, the doubting times, the dark, scared times of you and I. McGrath often describes his role almost as a travelling observer, hearing stories in one place and carrying them elsewhere through songs. He does not lead or organise protests. His music can be seen as the glue that focuses the energy of the collective voice. Although McGrath often references earlier political struggles, including the neoliberal reforms associated with the 1980s and their social effects, his work generally speaks across time rather than to a single event. He does not have a central ideology, except he does have an instinct for injustice and dignity. That would naturally put him on the left, on the left side. The song feels connected to economic inequality, the increasing divide between very wealthy and the desperation of the payday borrower. Pressures on working people, increasingly time poor, the low-paid gig economy, frustration with political systems. Is there really any difference for the working class between left of centre and right of centre? He, of course, would be way over to the left. Union and labour traditions crushed by the 1980s and 1990s neoliberal revolution. Is he suggesting violent protest? Last week we heard John Lennon and the Beatles tell us that violence was futile, unsuccessful. The assurance from John Lennon. But of course, everything did not turn out all right. In our first episode, we heard of the Diggers in 1649. Their peaceful protest was crushed by state violence within 12 months. 350 years later, the mid-1980s saw the top-down neoliberal revolution that has many similarities to the 1640 England, and scenes such as the miners' Battle of Orgreave protesting about closure of their vines and mines and desolation of their communities.
There have been 18 pickets injured, some of them by stones thrown from the back, of course, others who have been trampled as they've fallen down. Scargill's presence is all...
That protest in 1984, like so many others of the time, failed. The communities were desolated, the impact still being felt two generations later. Perhaps they needed an Adam McGrath, because his first key message is stand up. I'm not wasting all 7 of my life. It is precious, Lord, it is fine. Work my hours, I work my life. Work for yours, your work for mine. This is unmistakably a call to action, but not necessarily from above. It is not a demand for the government to do something to help me out or anybody else to do me out. He's not going to waste his life waiting for or working mindlessly for a corporate. He's going to go to stand up. He has dignity. Adam McGrath isn't a polished Nashville star. He's a 6'4" former self-described little shit from Bishopdale, Christchurch, who grew up in a state house with his beloved mum, Dawn. Life wasn't easy. He describes his youth as violent, aggressive and loud. Fight or flight, he said, and I'm a fighty sort of person. That anger found a home in punk rock and hip-hop. But somewhere along the line, the punk ethos merged with folk storytelling. As his friend Lyndon Puffin puts it, punk and folk share the same DNA, politics, social issues and raw authenticity. Today, McGrath is the hardest working musician in New Zealand, playing in cafes, community halls, small theatres, student villages, outdoor gatherings, protest gatherings. He doesn't use a set list. He walks on stage, walks in into the crowd, looks the crowd in the eye and delivers yarns, ballads and barnstormers. He writes from the perspective of the salt of the earth. He grew up watching Hustlers and Hard Times, mid-80s redundancies, layoffs, sell-offs, 15% mortgages. This verse isn't hypothetical. It's a view from the Working Men's Club in Littleton, where he learned to yarn with old seamen. In this respect, McGrath joins the likes of Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, and the later activist musicians such as Billy Bragg. Here we go to verse 2. Well, I hear them coming from the shore to the sea. Company men on our cowards and thieves. They want us weak on our down on our knees. When we keep them all honest, we keep ourselves free. In verse 1, Adam McGrath started with himself. It is my precious life. Identifying with each individual, each one of us. There's a line everyone can sing along to. In this verse, he moves to collective action. He is not messing around, is he? He has no time for the company men who are coming down from shore to sea. In this verse, he moves to collective action. If we keep them all honest, we keep ourselves free. Then, of course, there's the chorus. Stand up. Fight back, tell them how we want it. Stand up. But what is he urging us to fight back against? In the pubs and the clubs, over the beers and the hustles, he has seen the despondency, the fire gone out of desperate, unemployed, with few skills. In verse 3 and 4, we'll see the next step. They want blood from stone, muscle and bone. Keep us unheard, unlearned and unknown. They want blood from a stone. Keep us unheard, unlearned, and unknown. He sees not only injustice and despondency, he sees a system that is keeping people subdued, keeping them dispirited. His fight back starts with standing up, shoulders back, chin up, and action. Community by community, bottom up. We do not need the suits. We do not need, by working together, by demanding education and training or retraining, is a protest against the suits. It is keeping them honest and enables us to be free because we want to learn, we want to be retrained, we want to grow, and we want to do some ourselves. By keeping them honest enables us to be free. He wants us to be able to make our own decisions. We take the pluses and minuses that go with those decisions. In short, he's talking about personal resilience and community response to unseen corporates across the world for closing factories, government decisions that devastate communities. Think closing your school, closing your meatworks, and of course, natural disasters. His music does not have a specific type, but demonstrates an intuitive nose for injustice and community fracture. He is not just a protest singer. In all his work, his music seeks to bring people together. We do not need the suits, the politicians, the bureaucrats. We can do this. His work in Christchurch after the 2011 earthquake epitomises his stand-up message and demonstrates the first step that communities take in fighting back.
Little by little, the people of Christchurch are chipping away at the massive clean-up of suburban streets. It's bringing out the best in people who are still struggling to come to terms with the disaster. The ABC's Philippa McDonald reports from the city's suburbs.
There's digging. And there are neighbours, friends and strangers who aren't afraid of a bit of heavy lifting in a time of crisis.
We were lucky enough not to have any damage to our house, so we wanted to be able to do something.
Don and Michelle are great neighbours.
In 2011, Christchurch was devastated by an earthquake. While others ran, McGrath stayed. His song, Hope and Wire, became the anthem of rebuild and inspired a TV series. Before protest comes community. Adam McGrath's Christchurch experience wasn't simply about opposing something. It was about people showing up for each other. It was about resilience. Adam McGrath wrote the song Hope and Wire that became synonymous with the resilience of the local community, and it is widely celebrated for his musical and community work in the city following the earthquakes. Hope and Wire is a gritty song about troubled lives, not the rah, 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 we can do this style one would expect to motivate. It has stories of resilience, and in it, he is asking the audience to stand up and fight back together against whatever is thrown at them to gain strength from their difficulties so that they have the strength to join a fight, to fight back collectively. In this case, it was the earthquake to gain strength from misfortune. Rah-rah motivation is not his style. The first verse.
Well, Jackie spent her 20s as a junkie in Balmain. Now she's teaching painting, but the nights they feel the same. Said, "Is that all that you got that I can't hang on to?" She said, "You ain't hanging, you get yourself stuck like I do." Well, the times it's changing, she said, "That's alright. They ain't ever changing back, well, at least not tonight." I've never been sadder, and she said, "You're a liar. Put yourself back together with open wide. Put yourself back together with open wide."
It is not a pretty song. It's not a lullaby full of the supposed motivational messages one might get from a sports team or a TV evangelist. It is gritty, telling of hardship and misfortune, while demonstrate that there is dignity in misfortune and failure. But then he brings together hope and the ingenuity of the traditional number eight wire. A TV program was made, a four-part TV series was made based on that song, and of course the Christchurch earthquake. McGrath and the Eastern played free performances, supported community efforts after the earthquake. And this reflects an old labour movement idea. An individual struggles alone. Communities struggle together. And we can compare this with previous programmes we have discussed, in which some failed, some protest movements have failed, and some have succeeded. As mentioned, our first episode, the Diggers of 1649 failed. They did not have mass support. Earlier in the programme, we hear of the fruitless miner strikes in England. They did not have that let's get up and do something for ourselves emphasis. In recent episodes, we've explored the successful Save Manapouri campaign, which had mass support and a lasting compromise that saved a pristine lake. Like Lennon, McGrath does not prescribe or promote violent protest. He would have frowned about the miners' protest. He does not even allude to collective action in this track, but his life's work inevitably leads us to recognise that this is where he is going. And he recognises, as indeed did John Lennon, that successful protest depends on clear goals, sustained organisation and broad support, and that successful protests rarely achieve their objectives overnight. The key is sustained action. In recent time, we've seen the increasing acceptance of a number of changes in our community. And one that's very relevant at the moment, of course, is the concept of the living wage. This has been a well-coordinated campaign, and it's taken a number of years. And this clip is probably 3 or 4 years old. There's been the occasional quite loud protest, as in this clip from 2019.
Retail workers streaming into St Luke's shopping mall in what First Union says is an historic event. People came from all over Auckland to gather firstly at Warren Freer Park next to the mall, huddled under a sea of red umbrellas. The call is for workers to receive the living wage.
A well-organised protest with very clear objective. And if you listen carefully, there's quite a bit of humour in there. There's no alienation. They're not upsetting people. They're just making their voices very clearly heard. Stand up and fight back isn't about fighting people. It's about fighting with and for each other. McGrath often writes about flags blowing to the right. He writes, in an era of rising inequality, the aftermath of natural disasters, COVID disruption and the current turmoil created by the few in a small world. In 2024, he was judged the best folk artist at the Aotearoa Music Awards. His exception speech was brief.
There can be only one best folk artist, is Adam McGrath.
Living on one side of conversation. Little one, yes, our destination.
Adam, well done.
What's in the water down there in Ōtautahi?
Chlorine at the moment.
Yeah.
That make for good country music writing.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. It just gets you in the gut. Yeah.
Joking aside, though, Christchurch, you are super supportive of each other. There's a real network down there. I know you're a great collaborator, and so I'm sure that you also pay tribute to the other members of your community.
Oh, 100%. But I would like to pay tribute and stand in solidarity with everyone who took to the streets today to protest the classist and racist policies of our current government. But aside from that, thank you to everyone, especially to my brother Lyndon Puffin, Sophie and Lulu, and the mighty Easton, the Medills, and the New Zealand Folk Alliance. Thank you. Cheers.
Adam McGrath, everyone.
Adam McGrath, during his acceptance speech, he was thanking and applauding the protest that day. There was also the comment about the collaboration. It's recognised that there is an enormous amount of collaboration in Christchurch and in the Southwark, and this is a collaboration that he encourages. In a 2026 interview with Rolling Stone, McGrath talked about a mini stroke and his constant battle with fear. He's not a young punk anymore, but the fire is still there. He says, everything I do every day scares me. My whole life is a battle against fear. So why does this song matter? We are living in anxious times. Housing crisis, climate dread, the gig economy, AI sweeping away entry-level jobs for graduates, accountants, architects, and so on. And the feeling that the system is just not working for a whole generation. McGrath's entire artistic output is a rebuttal to apathy. His Christchurch anthem, Hope and Wire, celebrates resistance. Stand up and fight back is not a call to violent overthrow. On the other hand, he rebuts Lennon's assurance it will be all right. His call is to action that will make a difference, knowing that action takes its toll. It can be frightening, it can be hard work, and is collective. It takes community and collaboration with one's neighbours, the family up the road. It takes sharing of skills and talents and knowledge abilities. It takes openness with your neighbour. Revolution asks whether radical change without clear direction can become destructive. Stand Up, Fight Back asks how ordinary people can sustain resistance and resilience and solidarity over time. McGrath is a reminder that resistance doesn't have to be marching in the streets. Sometimes resistance is just getting out of bed when you're scared or discouraged without hope. Sometimes it's buying a ticket to a local gig. Sometimes it's just singing along to a guy with three chords who cares too much, because it's building resilience. He walks with the protester, the disillusioned, the despondent. He energises, gives music to, and binds communities together. You've been listening to Stand Up, Fight Back by Adam McGrath, his new solo album, Wrecker Songs, and his work with the Eastern. But before we go, one for the collector. The brief extract from Revolution at the beginning of the show was from the little-known and rarely listened to Escher Demos, a collection of 27 songs recorded on a four-track tape recorder. It's laughable, isn't it? In May 1968 at George Harrison's home in Escher, Surrey. These songs form the blueprint for the White Album. These recordings offer a pure pre-production glimpse into the band's songwriting process. They captured a unified, collaborative atmosphere before the grueling five-month recording sessions of the White Album that caused such tension that would lead to the split a year later. Thank you very much for listening. The podcast for this program and all previous episodes of Echoes of a Descent are available at freefm.org.nz. Some are available on your go-to podcast platform. Next week, we are still here. A legal victory confirming the existence of an ethnic group that predates territorial boundaries and maps. We look at industrial degradation of their land and ask if well-organized global environmental movements focusing on climate change give any thought to local communities destroyed by the search for climate-friendly alternative materials. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.